This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Well, happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. I literally had to look around the room to find my paper to tell me what day it was.
It's that kind of day.
Is it Tuesday? Brad, is it Tuesday?
It is.
Brad
it
has
is.
The ability to make it be whatever day
can,
he wants.
Well, I can make you think it's whatever
day. Yeah, it's Friday.
Until someone's like, Annie, yeah, it's definitely Monday. What are you talking about? Happy to be with you today. Our YouTube live chat poll, I want to get the fire burning on this one today, is should House GOP pass the Trump-approved bill? Yes or not necessarily? So not just a simple yes or no, because you might like the bill, but want it to be a little bit more. We had this discussion yesterday. We were talking with Steve Moore on the show yesterday. He's an economic advisor for Donald Trump. And he highlighted a Steve Forbes article on his X profile. And he was saying that he was like, we got to get these tax cuts passed. Now, I heard Steve Scalise today. He was on with Harris Faulkner in the Faulkner Focus this morning, and Harris Faulkner was trying to get Steve Scalise to say, yes or no, do you have the Republican votes to get this passed? And he goes, I'll tell you one thing, Harris. He says something to the effect of, if the Democrats vote against this bill, they are voting for a $3,000 per household tax raise for all American citizens, which to me was a, no, we don't have all the votes yet.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. Yeah.
And these deals often get made in the last minute. There's a lot of time between now and this evening. When you think about it, people are holding out. And the longer you hold out, the more likely we could have possibly a deal that is made. Who knows what's going to happen? But the question that I have for you is, because I'm kind of questioning this myself. I love Donald Trump. I love what he's doing. I think he has a vision. I think he has the ability to execute a plan. I think that, was it Ronald Reagan that said like 80%? Like if you can get 80% of what you, like that's the kind of compromise that you should. If you're going to get, in this period in time, if you're going to get the opportunity to get 80% of what you want, every day that passes is a day closer to the next election, is a day we're walking away from the wedding. The honeymoon period is going to start to wane at some point. That's just natural. That's how politics works. Although everything that Donald Trump has done is kind of the opposite of natural politics. It's important that this gets done, and this gets done right now, which I think is where that, you know, he wants one big, beautiful bill. He wants the tax cuts and the budgeting and the border security to all be in one. So it gets done. You get through it and it's over. Doesn't seem as though that the Senate has done the extent of what Donald Trump has wanted to have happen when it comes to making sure those tax cuts are made permanent, and including it with the budget funding for the southern border. Actually, I don't know if it's just the southern border, border security in general. So the question that I have for you that I think that I'm asking myself and I'm trying to critically think for myself here, should the House GOP pass the Trump-approved bill, yes or not necessarily? And what I mean by that, and of course every poll question. You can interpret it however you want. We want you to go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote, and we will feature some of those comments throughout the course of the show. I default am of the mind that if Donald Trump says do it, I just want the Republicans to do it. And that's a little authoritarian, admittedly so. You know, if Joe Biden were the president right now and there was a purple district Democrat that's like, my district would hate this. I don't, you know, purple district being maybe the one that I live in, Illinois House 13. Nikki Budzinski is a Democrat. She took over the 13th, which was previously held by a Republican, but the Republican district was a completely different drawn district. They redistricted and gerrymandered the heck out of the state of Illinois. So it's not apples to apples there, but Nikki Budzinski does represent Republicans and a handful of them that she takes a lot of safe votes. So if you're in a position where you are watching this unfold and you're a Republican and you know that maybe your district is super, super conservative and they sent you to Washington, D.C. this past election with one mandate to cut and to get our spending under control. And you're looking at this and saying it's not enough. Do you listen to the compromise that Donald Trump has put together as he is the unquestioned leader of the Republican Party? Going back to Stephen Miller's explanation the last week when he was talking about Donald Trump and Donald Trump's mandate and how Donald Trump has appointed Elon Musk into this position to engage in Doge and to do what he's doing. Donald Trump is the only person that the entire country, in the whole government, Donald Trump is the only person that every American gets to vote for or against. But he's the one with the largest mandate. Now, a representative that goes to Washington, D.C., if you're a Nikki Budzinski or if you're a Mike Bost or if you're a Jason Smith or an Ann Wagner, your constituents are who you answer to. You don't really answer to the president of the United States. You don't answer to your party. You answer to your constituents. So there's conflict there. And if what the president is saying you need to vote for does not coincide with what your district is telling you to represent Washington, D.C., that's a tough nut to crack. But here's the follow-up question. Is what your district is telling you to do, are you ever going to be able to achieve that for them? And if you can't achieve that for them, and the best you can do is 80% of that for them, and that's an arbitrary number, but if the best you can do is a certain potentially stomachable percentage of what they're wanting you to do, do you have an obligation to make the decision to bring the two together and get done what you can get done? I've watched Joe Biden. I've watched Barack Obama in my lifetime. I'm not going to say Bill Clinton because I was 10. But I've watched these two gentlemen, Obama and Biden. The Democrat Party determines everything that they did and do. And in Obama's case, he was the leader of the Democratic Party. In Biden's case, Obama was the leader of the Democratic Party, probably. But there was very little like, let's go back to our constituents and see. It's like Democrats do what Democrats do. And Republicans, it's not that simple. I commend them for that. That's not a bad thing at all. I think you should always adhere to your district. And if you take a tough vote and a good portion of your district, you know, a loud enough portion of your district is going to challenge you on it, you need to be prepared to explain yourself. And you need to be prepared to lose an election because you voted for what you think is right. So in my mind right now, if Donald Trump, who I believe to be incredibly well studied, well advised on these issues, I believe that we should, at least at this point, and I'm open to people changing my mind, I believe that we should do what Donald Trump wants us to do. I'm kind of just there because I don't think that the other thing is going to get, I don't think it's going to accomplish anything. To me, it's splitting the baby. And I'm not interested in that. If you've got one or two righteous, self-righteous individuals in Congress who are trying to make a name for themselves by being difficult. Huge problem with that. I don't really know that that's exactly what's going on here. I don't really look at Rand Paul and think you're a self-righteous individual for standing against the grain. I don't really look at Thomas Massey and think that. I did look at Matt Gaetz like that. I can look at my own party, and there's a few people who are still in Congress right now that my eyebrow is raised towards. This is a really challenging situation because the Republicans didn't win enough seats in the House. I'm not going to complain because they won enough to have the majority, and we're not looking at Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. But the question that I'm asking myself today, and I'm throwing out towards you, is do you want the people in the House to look to Donald Trump for leadership? Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune, come together with Donald Trump, figure out what the Republican Party needs to accomplish to deliver the American people the Trump mandate, and just go with it. Do you want that? If you do, you have to come vote yes on this poll. If you're in an it's complicated situation or no, you don't want him to vote for this, then you're going to say not necessarily. I think right now I'm a yes, but I feel in my heart that that is an emotional yes and not a critical thinking yes, which is why I'm questioning myself.
I understand that. If President Donald Trump, who is slashing and burning across all of the waste, tells you, yeah, this is a good fiscal bill, I understand why you'd go, yeah, okay, I kind of trust you. You're the guy who's making the biggest cuts and going the furthest. However, this bill, from what I've read, doesn't even come close to stopping the budget deficit. And I'm not talking about the national debt. I'm talking about we haven't even balanced this budget. So I'm a no until they can at least get close to balancing the budget, which this doesn't. So I'm a no.
What, when you say this doesn't, explain what it does.
So it adds more to the national debt.
With the House part?
Yeah, the House part does. It does cut from what it was, but it still doesn't actually balance the budget.
That's the type of thing that Joe Biden would say about, I've cut the deficit, or I've cut the deficit more than any president, blah, 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 because he started mumbling, so I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Right.
You know the thing.
Yeah.
When he was talking about cutting the deficits, it's like, we're spending more than we're taking in, but you're saying you're spending less more than
yes,
you were taking in.
That's exactly right.
So it's like, let's talk simple numbers here. If you're spending $10, but you're only taking in $5, Joe Biden was like, we're going to spend $9 and only take in five. High fives all around.
Oh yeah,
let's
and
go.
They all do this.
Yes,
they all say, "Oh, we're cutting the spending. Aren't we amazing?"
And we were very critical of Joe Biden for doing that.
Yes.
And if the Republicans do the same thing with the opportunity not to, then we're in a situation where it's got to be the same criticism.
It's
that simple.
This is that. And the only reason I would ever get on board with this particular budget is that, according to Ryan Schmelz, unless something's changed from last time we talked to him, he said this funds the government through September. That's not a long time.
Yeah.
And so if you just are going through September because you're waiting on the Doge cuts, you're going to put all that into the bill when you get back to it, then you could maybe convince me.
Steve Moore yesterday on the show, who, as I said, he advises Donald Trump on economic policy, highlighted the fact in that Forbes article, and he's good friends with Steve Forbes, he highlighted in that article the fact that you have to also include the concept of economic growth. And if you look at, I think numbers off the top of my head, it was like 131% debt to GDP ratio, that after World War II, through economic growth before the 70s, they were able to get it down to 37%. And Donald Trump looks to be investing heavily in economic growth. Do you trust the president to just lead? I mean, honestly, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a critical thinker. I'm not afraid to criticize or congratulate anybody who's doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Do you trust Donald Trump? That's the YouTube live chat poll. I'm so excited for our next guest, and we're going to take a quick break so we can get to him very quickly. Jonathan LaCroix is going to be with us, former Major League Baseball catcher for the Brewers. He's going to come talk to us. He's been very active on X. He's also a professional hitting and catching consultant. He's going to come talk to us about his thoughts, his reaction to the Donald Trump month in as a presidency, but also just being like a dude who has political thoughts and is okay with saying them. Because that's really what we're seeing a lot of people right now feel a little less fearless. And I don't know that he was ever fearful about this, but anytime you see someone like that who's not really in the lane of politics having political opinions that they're willing to share, folks, that's the way we all are.
I love it.
That's the way we all are. And you can do it without having like a slap fight. And so we are going to have Mr. Luke Roy on the show here in just a minute. He's going to join us on Zoom, too. So hop on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote on that poll. Should the House GOP just trust Donald Trump and pass that Trump-approved bill that the House is going to vote on tonight? Steve Scalise said earlier today he's going to blame the Democrats if it doesn't pass, which means to me, I'm thinking he doesn't have the Republican votes. There's time. Let's get Jonathan LaCroix on the show next. Don't go away.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday morning, I reached out to the Trump White House. As you can well imagine, we have lots of friends, as you well know, in the Trump White House. And I said, hey, what's the story here? Is there actually any truth to this at all? I put up the tweet on it early this morning. And what I was told is this is fake news. The White House has not extended an offer to the Philadelphia Eagles yet. It is still very soon after the championship was garnered. And usually those championship visits don't happen until the summer. And the Eagles have given no indication at all, as they have not received an invite about whether they will be coming or not.
So out kicks Clay Travis there, giving us the update or the initial news report, because I guess everything else was kind of rumor, that the Eagles are very open to going to the White House because they're world champions, and that's what they should do. Politics is obviously in everything right now, and sometimes people think if you're in sports, maybe you don't talk about those things. That got politicized, I think, before before maybe anybody even got asked, as he said, invited to the White House. And we're excited to bring our next guest on the show. Jonathan Lucroy is a former Major League Baseball catcher, known from the Brewers, of course, here in St. Louis. He's also a professional hitting and catching consultant. Go to jonathanlucroy.com to learn more. Jonathan, it is a pleasure to have you on the show here. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about, you know, for an athlete that gets the opportunity to go to the White House, there's always a little bit of buzz and hubbub around that. Donald Trump is more charged, it seems to me, than any other political figure, at least in my 40 years of life. When you hear stories like this about some teams saying they don't want to go or they do want to go based on the presidency, what are your thoughts about that as a professional athlete?
I think that the opportunity to go to the White House is a huge privilege. And I myself, I've been twice. Both times Obama was president. I went to Obama's State of Union address in 2015. To me, it's not about the man, but about the respect for the office and who the people elect there. And I think for anybody to be invited is a privilege and an honor. And I would have loved to go as a world champion, to go experience that and celebrate that win and celebrate that championship, you know, at the highest nation in the land. And I think whoever's in the White House is irrelevant. And I think that's an excuse personally. So I think as athletes, like, we should be proud to take part in such things if we're invited.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart, common sense way to approach it. And that's kind of what attracted me to what you have been posting on X at JLucroy20 for folks who want to follow Jonathan. You have a pretty this is the weird thing that normal thoughts on politics seem to be kind of outside of the norm, but it's starting to become a little more common to see people who have varied opinions on politics, but now are more willing to just weigh in on things when it matters to them in this second term of Donald Trump. What's your thoughts on his victory, but also his ability to get things done and your willingness to talk about it?
I try to look at everything from, you know, an athlete perspective. And again, my world is baseball, right? And I'm not a political scientist. I don't claim to be. I don't claim to know everything. But what I do know is that for me, if I'm trying to be the best catcher in the world, right, I'm going to go and get advice from somebody who was the best catcher in the world, who's done it at a high level, right? A guy like, again, I don't want to make a big deal out of a guy like Yadier Molina, right? And I love Yadi. I respect Yadi to death. I talked about Yadi a lot online on Twitter and all that. But my point is that whenever I don't like politicians per se, and I don't think Donald Trump's a politician. I think he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk, businessman, he's surrounding himself with business people. And I believe that we have to trust him. And I know a lot of people don't, because they're being fed this counter narrative that he's racist and a fascist dictator and all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, you know, the guy was actually shot at, right? And they tried to kill him. And he's still up there telling us to fight and get after it. And to me, I like that Donald Trump is who he is. He's unapologetically who he is. And I've never met him, but I know people that know him and that have met him that are working with him now on a lot of things. And for me, like, let's go back to the baseball perspective. I always like having players on my team that were a little edgy.
Yeah.
Not crazy, but like a little edgy, that you couldn't bully around, you couldn't push around, because those guys win and you need guys like that on your team to win, you know? And I think as Americans, we should be trying to win. And unfortunately, there's a portion of this country and the media in general that they act like they don't want us to win, you know, with all the Doge stuff. They act like it's okay that we're wasting all this money and sending it to terrorist groups and all these other things and all these other really weird, you know, purposes and yeah, all this weird stuff. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me from a logical perspective. I try to look at everything logically and stay out of my emotions on it. Talking about athletes, though, you know, we're always told, you know, don't bring politics into the game, keep it separate, you know, believe what you want to believe, vote how you want to vote, but don't talk about it, don't represent it. But my problem is, and this is my personal experience, and I posted this many times on Twitter or on X, that they politicize us. You know, we're politicized, we're politicized. Like, we're told to wear rainbow jerseys and celebrate drag queen nights and take pride in all this weird stuff, or excuse me, take part in all this weird stuff. Kneel for the anthem. That was a big one that really chapped me.
Yeah.
We were told kneel for the anthem. And, you know, I told them, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I refuse to do that. You know, it's just not respectful to me. That's not solving a purpose. Matter of fact, you're alienating and dividing people more because you're pushing this. Yeah. And I think athletes should be more bold. And my hope is that and I'm not saying I'm some superstar, big name person, but I will tell you this. I'm not going to mention names, but I've had a lot of people, baseball players, big time players that people know about that are still playing, that have reached out telling me that they appreciate what I'm doing and that they are thankful that there's someone being bold. And I look and I tell them, I text them back, or I call them back, and I'm like, bro, you could do it too.
Yes.
Like, it's okay. It's okay. Why is it not okay to talk about how you believe and what you represent? And not even from a political perspective, like, take politics out, like, culturally,
human,
culturally,
yes.
Culturally, like, it's okay to love my wife. It's okay to love children. It's okay, you know, to have children. It's okay to be married for a long time. It's okay, you know, to stand up and be proud to be an American. It's okay to do that. Like, it's nothing. What's wrong with that? Why? And so, but they're told that they can't do that. And I understand a little bit, because I was that guy where I didn't want to bring it up during my playing days, because they would just cut you or release you, or they'd come in and they would tell the media, don't interview this person, mm-hmm. don't interview this guy, because he's going to talk about his politics or whatever. And I think there's a problem with that. And I think that we're allowed to be, you know, we're not allowed to be to talk about what we culturally believe in, family values based stuff. But yeah, they politicize us in the field and tell us to do all these crazy, take part and celebrate all this crazy stuff, you know, all this weird sex stuff and everything. Yeah. And it's weird. And it just doesn't make sense to me from a logical perspective.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful that you're on with us here in St. Louis, because what you're saying, you're getting people reaching out to you saying, like, high five, man, thanks for saying that stuff. You're speaking for more people than you know. And to your point, like, okay, now your turn. Tag, you're it. Speak up. And for your voice to be out there and talking about it, you kind of just, it's not an insult, but you kind of disqualified your political opinion at the beginning by saying, you know, you're a baseball player, you're not a political science major or whatever. I actually care more about what you think, because this, yeah. You have a lived experience. You know, you're talking about players that you have worked with, been on teams with, played against, that you respect. These people are husbands, they're fathers, and I you know, they're Christians, they're all these things. Yep. That I would assume on the resume of life come before baseball player. And
absolutely,
you're being pushed by an industry, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen as much. It seems like more people are kind of moving away from the woke virtue signaling in corporations, because it doesn't seem to be as trendy at this point. But when you're talking about Major League Baseball telling you guys to kneel, how do you handle that as a team like that comes down?
So I'd love to call everybody out, believe me, but I'm not here to trash people. Mm-hmm. I think that from what I've seen, and you've seen it in industry as well, is that a lot of businesses and industries and, you know, sports leagues, they sway with the political climate. Right. And
yeah.
So, you know, you got these woke people in office. And so now all of a sudden they got to go, these organizations and these teams and leagues and stuff, they got to go woke, or they'll be punished in some way by, you know, by the government, or I don't know, but it's just what I've heard. And I think that, you know, sports number one should be celebrating the best of us, right? It should be celebrating.
And by the way,
let's call it what it is. Professional sports is a pure meritocracy. Okay. So if I suck and I don't play good, I'm going to lose my job. Okay. It's no DEI. You can't have DEI and on professional sports teams, because you want a guy up to the plate that's good at hitting, not a guy up to the plate because he's of a certain skin tone or from or a certain nationality, right?
Yeah.
A great example of this is I played with a multiple guy. I played with guys from all over the world, but, you know, I played with guys from Cuba and Venezuela. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you think they believe, right? The Cuban guys came over here on boats fighting sharks. It's a true story. My Venezuelan buddy, I'll never forget, we were in the food room in the cafeteria getting something to eat, and he looks at me and he goes, Lucroix. I can't do the accent, so I'm not even going to try. But he goes, Lucroix, why do, and this was during the Antifa and BLM riots. And he said, Lucroix, why do people hate America like this? What's wrong with these people? Well, they have no idea.
Are you like how much time do you have?
Sit down, let's have a talk. Why is this? And I said, bro, I don't know. I said, I think people just, they're just not happy people for whatever reason. They're just miserable. And they want to make everybody miserable around them because they're so traumatized from something that happened in their childhood or something. I don't know. They've been brainwashed. He goes, Poppy, I have family members in Venezuela that are eating cats and dogs. And I don't understand why these people act like this. That's what he told me. And it's just 90%. I can't speak for any of the leagues, but 90% of Major League Baseball players are conservative. They're not. We talk about it amongst each other. We had multiple conversations about this every year I played with different groups of guys, and 90% of them are conservative. Why? Because baseball in general is a meritocratic sport, and
yes.
Most of us come from lower middle class families, and we got to work our way up, overcoming failure and overcoming adversity to become the best in the world at what we do. And why don't we apply that to our government? Why is our politicians, they get elected and they think they can do whatever they want? Like, earn it. We have to earn this. Mm-hmm. And it is not given, it's earned. And that's why I love what this Doge stuff's all about, man, because he's exposing all this stuff.
Yes.
And I love it. Yeah. I love it. I think we got to earn this, man, because we are capable of greatness and we have to earn it to get there.
We're speaking with Jonathan Lucroix. He's a Major League Baseball player here in St. Louis. Of course, we know him from the Brewers. We had Wilson Contreras. I don't know if it was in the World Baseball Classic. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think Venezuela was having their election, and he hit a home run. And, you know, fans of Contreras here, of course, and our Contreras, I should say. And he hits this home run. And I remember seeing him in the dugout. And he was like weeping after that happened. And, you know, afterwards, the local press was like, hey, man, what was going on there? Because he hit this big home run. Like, that's what you do. You're a pro ball player. You hit home runs. Hooray. But he was so emotional about it. And he commented about Venezuela, I think an election that was about to happen that evening or something. And I think he was just comparing at that moment the contrast between this home run that he's hitting, you know, for the St. Louis Cardinals, or maybe it was during the World Baseball Classic. I can't remember. And he was just overwhelmed, I think, with that contrast of what the people where he comes from are dealing with. And these are all things that are bigger than baseball, but yet these baseball moments bring out, in many cases, what is best about the United States of America. And I just think baseball, it seems to be one of the pure places that is left. And going back to what you were saying about, you know, how baseball or any pro sport can try to shove these things in your experience, do you feel like when some of the woke stuff tries to seep in, hey, you guys, you're going to kneel. Hey, you guys, you're going to wear this jersey. Hey, we're going to celebrate this tonight and everybody's going to participate. My assessment of that has always been that the money, the top of the business, they stick their finger in the wind and they think that the money is chasing after the woke things. It's not even really, to me, a true virtuistic type of movement that is engaged in with a lot of these big, big, high dollar businesses and corporations. When it becomes less trendy, they're out. It's not like the virtue can be shown the most when it's unpopular, which is really, Jonathan, what I'm seeing from you and your willingness to speak out.
Well, you know, Annie, I think too, on that same note, if teams would celebrate America every single day, celebrate America every single day and push the family, instead of pushing the woke stuff, if they would actually focus on the family values part and the celebration of America part and being proud and being gracious and being humble with actually being in this position where we're able to go out and make a lot of money, but also to play at the highest level in the world of what we do, being proud of that and celebrating that every day on the field, we would actually, they'd actually make more money. I mean, look what's happened to the NBA. They would make more money. Why? Because the majority of sports fans, they're just middle-class people that just want to go and be distracted from their, from the grind of their everyday life. They don't want to show up and they don't want to see all this weird, you know, virtue signaling stuff going on the field. They just want to bring their six-year-old kid to a game and not see drag queens walking around. Like, that's a true story. Like, that's a true, like, that happened on a team I was on. And, you know, that we had, you know how many, we seriously had maybe 1,000 fans that day. Cause I'm going, this isn't even smart business wise. Cause you're alienating the majority of your fan base by pushing this stuff, and no one cares. Like, if you're gay, who cares? Like, no one cares. Like, go live your life and be an adult, do whatever you want behind closed doors, but don't come out and push this stuff on everybody else. You know, you're trying to use this platform to push whatever narrative or whatever, whatever you're trying to do. Just go out and let us play. And if we don't want to kneel for the anthem, don't demonize us for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and the team that told me to kneel for the anthem, it happened, and they came down, and the ownership group came down and said, we're encouraging you to kneel for the anthem. And I looked at him and I go, there's no way on God's green earth I will ever kneel for the anthem. If you want to release me and fire me right now, I'll go home. Like, I don't care. Like, I have friends at home. I have friends of mine that are military veterans. I've done a lot of military charity work in my career. I will never do that ever. I don't care if you can put a gun to my head, I won't do it. I kneel for Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's the only person I kneel for. And I'm unapologetic about it. I will never apologize for it. But I actually called a buddy of mine who's on the other team, and I'm like, hey bro, real good friend of mine. I say, hey bro, I said, this is what happened. I'm gonna tell you, I'm not doing it. He goes, dude, our ownership group came down and told us the same exact thing. And I said, I'm not kneeling. He goes, I'm not either. I said, good. It might just be me and you, bro, but I ain't doing it. And he didn't either. And it turned out it actually was great. There's only like 5 or 6 guys that did on both teams total. And so that's why I say, like, you have a bunch of alpha male type personalities and that are coming out on the field to compete and to beat each other. And you're telling us to come out here and to get in a state of submission to something that isn't even going to work. Like, that isn't even, like, if you have a cause you believe in, fine, go do whatever you think is right for you. Like, I'm a free speech guy, man. Like, do Constitution, like Bill of Rights, do your thing, do whatever you want to do. I'm not forcing anybody to believe what I want to believe.
Right.
I just think that goes both ways. That goes both ways, and you're not going to force us to do the same thing that you feel like we should do. And I believe how you want to believe. And again, my hope is that I can inspire guys to be more bold, to speak out, and to be more courageous. Cause I think the courageous part is what we need. We need people to be courageous. And there are a lot of people are outside of the political space, like and culture, you know, Harrison Butker, what he did, you know, be courageous and just speak what you believe in. And if you disagree with me, that's okay. You don't have to agree with me. Like, that's fine. Disagree with me. Like, I don't expect everybody to agree with me, but I know the majority of them do. They just don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to be vocal about it because of the repercussions of what might happen to them. And that's really, it's cancel culture still. And to me, if we live in a country that we have the kind of Bill of Rights we do, we have the Constitution that we do, you know, and Britain, they're arresting people for posts online. I mean, that is insane. It's insane.
It's crazy.
And here you saw what happened with X until Elon bought him. Thank God Elon bought X. But before that, if I would have spoken out before Elon bought X, I would have been deplatformed, you know, and here it's, you're taking away people's ability to have free speech. And,
you know,
I
was just going to say, the thing about it is, though, and especially with that story about you saying there's no way I'm going to kneel, it's just not happening. And it's clear to me, based on that story, that there had to be people in that room. I don't know what your seniority was when were you a rookie, or were you like a senior guy in the locker room at that time? But there had to be people in there that was like, oh, my God, I'm glad he said that. And it took one person to stand up and say, Abso-freaking-lutely not.
You're right. And we, you know, we talked about it as a team. And at the time, I had a lot of service time in big league. So I was one of the veteran guys. But I was new to the team. Not that that kept me from speaking out. I just don't care what people think about me, to be honest with you, anymore. I used to, not anymore. But I basically said, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And you guys do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to do this. And, you know, whether that I inspired him or not, I don't know. But knowing what I know about baseball players in general, you know, a lot of guys think the same way I do. They just don't want to talk about it, be vocal about it, because they're fearful of the attention. You know, by me doing so, I want you to understand. And again, I'm not virtue signaling here. Okay. I'm just being honest. Like I've canceled myself out of Major League Baseball because people, you know, I'll never probably coach in the big leagues ever again, or even be involved in big leagues ever again, because I've spoken out about it. But I knew that this would happen, but I wanted to do it anyway, because one day we're going to die and have to go to heaven and answer to God and say, hey, you know, I did my best, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about anything else. So I want to make sure that I'm vocal, I'm honest, I'm truthful. And if I can help one person, out of all of this, that's all I'm trying to do, just one person. And so it's, if anybody else after that is icing on the cake. So thank you for what you do, by the way, Annie. I appreciate you being vocal as well. We need good, strong, moral people to keep speaking out and keep, just call it out. Just call it out. I mean, people are afraid to call out, and don't be afraid. Speak righteous, be truthful, be honest, and call it out where it is. Because if we don't do that, then we're allowing, we're part of the problem if we don't do that, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're so right. Strong, courageous, and unafraid. And that shines through, at least on your ex profile and in this conversation here. I'm so grateful for your time today. Thank you for your fearlessness and for sharing some of that with us. We really appreciate you, Jonathan, here in St. Louis. Of course, your kind words to Yachty. I always say that the number one thing sports teams or sports publications should do is leave a Cardinal off of any top 10 list, and your algorithm will go through the roof, because St. Louis fans always show up, and you started talking about Yachty, and it hit my timeline, and you know, we're grateful for
Yachty's the best.
Yeah,
he is in my book, and I said it the other day on X, he's a top three catcher of all time, and the respect I have for that dude is off the charts. And so I loved competing against him. He was the best, and he taught me, he might know this, he might not, but he taught me personally. He taught me a ton about catching and being a leader and being a good game caller and competing from behind the plate, just from playing against him. And he's an absolute stud. And I'm very thankful to have competed against him, and for as long as I did. And I'm also thankful, by the way, to all the St. Louis fans out there that came to the games and watched us compete, you know, and thank you guys for being great fans and supporting your team there. I mean, you guys, in my opinion, you're one of the best fans. I never played for the Cardinals, but played against you guys a ton.
Yeah.
And one of the great fan bases in baseball.
Well, we're appreciative of that. Jonathan, I'm going to invite you to come back on the show again sometime in the future
now.
So thank you for being with us today and for sharing. I mean, it's a message, but it's also a witness, and we're grateful for it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. You as well. Thank you so much. Jonathan Lucroy, former Major League Baseball pitcher. We know him probably the most. 7 years played with the Milwaukee Brewers. Part of that 2011 year, was that when we beat them in the NLCS? I didn't want to bring that up with him.
I'm going to get lost between those because...
Ethan?
Yeah, Ethan, this is where you shine, buddy.
Ethan will come in and give us an update after the break.
Yeah.
We're just kind of cutting into your time here.
My time is worthless. That was a really good interview.
I know. I was thinking Ryan wants to keep listening.
No, I don't care. Like, oh yeah, hey, stick around for the 10 dumbest dog breeds. You know, whatever.
You better not say my dogs.
We'll see.
Well, let's take a quick break. I can't ask Ethan a Cardinals question right now because we do not have time for that answer, because it will be thorough.
We'll be here all day.
It will be thorough.
Just let him do Wiggins America.
All
That's
right.
fine.
What did you call it? Younger, hotter?
No.
Basically.
Oh, man. Jonathan Lucroy, new guest of the Andy Fry Show. What a pleasure that was. We'll be right back.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Come back to the microphone, Ryan.
Doing a little tightrope dance there.
That's what that was.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman.
It's Pee Wee Herman. Do you know who Pee Wee Herman is?
Only because you've mentioned him on the show before.
Every time tequila plays?
I'm pretty sure last time we mentioned his name, I said I know who Pee Wee Reese is.
He wasn't he a pitcher?
No, he's an infielder.
Infielder? That's what I meant.
Can we assign? I want you to watch, Ethan, Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Yes.
And I need you to report back. I take notes. Just anything you think when you're watching that, I just want you to write down. It doesn't even have to make sense later. Pee Wee Herman. I want you to watch Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. Specifically, I think there are more Pee Wee Hermans, but that's the one.
And Ryan, I need you to go watch Pee Wee Reese highlights and write down anything you think.
Yep. And Brad, I need you to all night play the Pee Wee Playhouse theme song while you sleep.
I can do that.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yep.
Go.
No. This is
following up Jonathan Lucroy.
I mean, really, do you want to do the 10 dumbest dog breeds? That's a real thing we could do.
No. Is that in your stack?
Yeah, it's there. This is lies to stop telling yourself.
Go on.
It's self-help. And I have so much time here that I'd like to get to all 40 of them. Number one.
We will revisit later in the show, I'm sure.
All 40. Are there really 40?
You got 2.5 minutes. Go.
No, there really aren't. Okay. The first one is. We're still doing the segment.
Oh my god!
I'll be happy.
We haven't started
when
yet.
I achieve blank. So don't tell yourself that you'll only be happy when you get to a certain level or a certain thing. Agree?
Yeah.
Do you do this?
I think everybody does it to an extent.
I don't do that anymore.
Really? You live fully in the moment?
It's the goal. Yeah. I used to do that, and I was never happy.
Mm. So you changed?
Yeah.
That's great.
I stopped telling myself that lie.
Good for you, Annie.
Good for you. Do you do this, Ethan?
No, I don't feel like I do.
I do it all the time.
I feel like I'm pretty content on where I am.
He's better than you.
I tell myself lies. I tell myself sweet little lies.
Oh, I can't
I remember hearing that song when I was a kid going, why would anybody do that? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you tell yourself lies or ask somebody to tell you lies?
Do we need to go over the lyrics to explain what was happening?
Nope. They were all on coke.
Oh.
Well. I mean, they were. It was Fleetwood Mac.
He's honest.
Anyway.
I'm the only one who ever blank. Don't isolate yourself by making yourself feel like you're the only one who's ever experienced what it is you're going through.
Yeah. These sounds like things I tell my teenager.
Well, then he should be listening. Take this segment.
No, he's in
Don't
school.
Take the Jonathan Lucroy segment.
He's in school.
Take this one to him. Be like,
oh no,
son,
I'm gonna have street cred tonight.
Is he gonna know who that
this?
Is?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Didn't know if that was too long ago for him.
Mm-mm. Question: is it okay to tell somebody when you interview them that you used to have them in fantasy baseball?
Totally okay.
Is
never
it
totally
the,
okay?
Never on the first date.
Never.
Totally okay.
You would know.
I was your biggest fan.
That's how I knew him, was from fantasy. All right.
Don't tell them that.
Fantasies?
Don't tell them that.
Yeah, phrase that differently, Ryan.
I'm glad this is a short segment.
Me
Maybe
too.
Put that minute of commercials back in. Get a break in 20 seconds.
Everyone else has it figured out but me. This is another one that isolates you.
I don't have that problem.
Everyone else has it figured out but me. No, I don't either. We're no. too overconfident.
I was just, well... Man, if you're still worrying about that at 40, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
This is never going to end.
I felt that way.
Man, you talk about walking into a joke.
Timely,
very meta of
timely.
You.
This is never going to end. Sometimes pain can feel that way, can't it?
Yes.
But we should not believe.
Can confirm.
That when you're in the middle of something tough or just bad. That you should always tell yourself, this too will pass.
I'm
when
motivated.
Does the segment end, by the way?
It's taking too long. I don't know that it's ever going to end.
Yep.
There's tequila.
I don't think anybody knows what this feels like with me.
I might need tequila after that segment.
If I ignore it, it'll go away. That's the last one.
I feel like she's taking that approach.
she's not listening.
No words.
I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Andy McCarthy.
Hey.
Next on the Annie Fry Show. If you're